driving in my Indian car with the pound of the wheel drumming in my brain. My dash is dusty, my plates are expired. Please, Mr. Officer, let me explain. I got to make it to a powwow tonight. I'll be singing 49 down by the riverside. Got my T-bird in the glove box, I ain't got no spare. Got a feather from an eagle, I ain't got no care. The road is empty as my bottle of desire. The daylight is breaking, the sun touches fire. I got to make another powwow tonight. Be singing 49 down by the riverside. That don't work, but the radio can scream. I got a sticker that says Indian Power. I stuck it on my bumper, that's what holds my car together. We're on a circuit of an Indian dream. We don't get old, we just get younger. When we're flying down the highway, riding in our on a circuit of an Indian dream. We don't get old, we just get younger. When we're flying down the highway, riding in our Indian cars. Riding in our Indian cars. Riding in our Indian cars.
It is time for Talkin' Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. I'm joined today on the show by Jacob Shihei. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me also.
It's a pleasure. Where are you talking to us from today?
So I am here on the Pueblo of Powaki here in New Mexico. The Pueblo is also called Osuenge Owinge, which means drinking water place in our language, Tewa. So yeah, I live in the northern part of New Mexico. Around us is the 6 Tewa villages. Tewa is the language that we speak, and so the pueblos that surround me all speak the same language.
And you have a name in Tewa, don't you, Jacob?
Yeah, so my Tewa name is Ka Tere, which translates out to leaf bird, but that translates out to the American goldfinch.
Do you feel like you have a connection to the goldfinch, being that that is your name?
Yeah, I think I remember being a kid and my dad, especially, he would always dress me up in yellow. Like it would always be like a yellow hat or a yellow shirt. And like I always asked him why. And he was like, oh, because your name, Ka Tere, which is the American goldfinch, it's a yellow bird, right? But then also he was like, it's also easy to spot out. And I was like, okay, that makes sense too. If I'm like in a crowd, I don't think there's many people wearing a yellow shirt.
It's a good way not to lose you in a crowd.
Exactly. So yeah, I tried my best to, try to use that symbol, either like a bird symbol or I guess kind of the colors, which are kind of that yellow, that gold yellow and white and black. So yeah, I try to use those as much as I can.
I'm curious for you, Jacob, how does growing up on the Santa Clara Pueblo, how does growing up in northern New Mexico feel like it's shaped you? Do you feel like you have a relationship to place?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've grown up and lived here my whole life. I've never really moved away. I've always still been here in northern New Mexico. And I've grown up in the community. My parents are heavily involved in our traditional doings and traditional activities. So that kind of upbringing kind of pushed me to participate in my own traditional dances and participate in any like community events, whether it's like a community fun run or like a Tewa bingo. So yeah, I feel like there's been that kind of I guess, big relation towards where I'm from, especially being from Santa Clara Pueblo. It's kind of pushed me to become who I am today.
And where does music fit into that? Was music a part of your upbringing?
Yeah, so we do have like our own traditional Tewa songs. And it's funny because last night I shared an Instagram reel of turtle dance songs from Okeawinge, San Juan Pueblo. And so, yeah, I've always grown up listening to those kinds of songs. And so those were kind of always around. I guess these songs were kind of recorded in the 70s from a record label called India House. And so, yeah, I guess they recorded a bunch of places here in the Southwest or for different people. And so they recorded in San Juan Pueblo. And the guys who sang the songs are my great grandpa's brothers. So I guess there's that relation there to music and kind of, I guess, my love for vinyl music and vinyl records. And so, yeah, I've always kind of grown up listening to traditional songs. And then again, just participating in our dances. Those dances happen yearly. Our big traditional feast day is August 12th. And so, yeah, I'm always kind of participating. And whenever we have stuff here in the Pueblo, like I'm usually there.
And amidst all of that, did you have a sort of defining aha moment, a moment where you decided that music was something that you were passionate about and wanted to pursue in a more direct or unique or individual way?
You know, I think listening to traditional songs, I listened to those songs. And then while my parents were in college, I would stay with my grandparents. And so my grandparents were really into Elvis and Frankie Valli. So I remember growing up at my grandparents' house, and every Saturday and Sunday, they would have a thing called Beatle Brunch on the radio. And so I remember my grandpa would be making breakfast, and my grandma would be like, "All right, it's time for Beatle Brunch." And we just sit there and eat our breakfast, listening to the Beatles. That's how I got into the Beatles and music. And then, of course, on Sunday, I think it was Elvis Hour. And same thing, that was early in the morning. And same thing, my grandpa would be making like an omelet or something, and I'd be sitting there at the dining table with my grandparents listening to Elvis on the radio. So I think those were kind of maybe big moments for me of listening to like early rock and roll with my grandparents, and then also listening to the Beatles. And then when I was about 3 or 4 or so, they took me out to California to go to, I guess, to like Disneyland or something. But on the way back from California to New Mexico, we stopped off at the Roy Rogers Museum. And I think from then on, I was like hooked on guitar.
You were hooked.
Just from,
What was it about Roy?
I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe it was just like, I think maybe just being there and kind of being in the museum and listening to maybe his songs. And I don't know. I remember my grandparents buying me, that was my first guitar. They bought me a Roy Rogers guitar. And they brought me the tapes and CDs also. And so I remember driving back from California, and that's all we listened to. And yeah, I remember playing that Roy Rogers guitar, and I think I broke all the strings on it, but still messed around. And later on, my grandparents bought me another guitar that they found at some yard sale, and I think I was a little too like scared to play it because they would take me to like a guitar class in the area. And we went one time. I remember going one time, and then that was it. And they were like, "Do you want to go again?" I was like, "No, I'm too scared." So I got shy after that. But I always had it just laying around. And it wasn't really until like middle school, high school is when I started to get really back into it, like taking it more seriously. One of my best friends, it's funny because we always just challenge each other to do stuff, or like we always say, like, "If you do something, I'll do that too." And so I remember we went to our local guitar shop in Santa Fe, and he was like, "If you buy a guitar, I'll buy a guitar." And I was like, "Okay." So that's what we did. And so if it weren't for him, I don't maybe think I would be playing guitar.
That's the best kind of friend.
Yeah, I mean, he's still my best friend to this day. So yeah, he just told me, "Let's buy a guitar." And so I bought a guitar. And at that time, Borders was closing, like Borders, the bookstore, was closing. And so luckily I found this Beatles guitar chord book, and I kind of just sat down the summer that I was away from school and just kind of taught myself how to play guitar. And the first song I learned on guitar was A Day in the Life by the Beatles. And that was it. And I've been playing guitar ever since.
It seems to me like you have kind of always managed to create a community around music. You had a band in high school, you started a band in college, you kind of ventured into your solo career, and then you created a trio. Can we talk about the trio a little bit?
Yeah, so I've always had kind of a little band, or any bands, I guess. Like you said, I was had a band in high school called Stealing Hearts, and so we did that for a little bit, and then.
Did you steal a lot of hearts? Does everybody ask you that? That's
yeah,
a terrible
yeah.
question.
No, I'm pretty sure we did. I'm sure we stole a good amount of hearts in high school. And then I went to Northern New Mexico College here in Española and did jazz studies. And so that kind of helped me, I guess, learn different types of music, learn how to play guitar. My guitar teacher was a Brazilian dude named Marcos Cavalcante, and that's all we would play. I just remember playing like Brazilian music. And I started another band after that with my college friends. And then same thing, just kind of wanted to do our own thing. And so I released a song solo. It's called Hide the Heartbreak. And this was like 2019. And I think after that is when I wanted to start doing my own kind of thing and have my own band. And so for a while there, it was kind of just, it was still live music in the sense of it was my song Hide the Heartbreak, but then there were like a little bit of like rock influences, and sometimes we play the Beatles, but then we would play like Prince. So it was kind of just all over the place, and I think I just was like, you know what, maybe this isn't really what I want to do. And I really love rock and roll, and it's funny because I always go back to it and I'm like, I love rock and roll, I love Link Ray, I love Buddy Holly, I love Richie Valens, because that's what I grew up on. And so yeah, I started the trio that I have, Jacob Shehe Trio. We've been together for about 2 years now, so we're still kind of still growing, still learning, and still learning how to play with each other. And so yeah, that's slowly growing, and it's been a lot of fun so far. We've been playing we played the Gathering of Nations this year out in Albuquerque, and but yeah, it's I didn't really know what to expect when doing this, because I was like, man, I really love rockabilly and I really love rock and roll, and I didn't really know where this was going to go. But I feel like, you know, I don't know, I think I'm starting to realize that a lot of people love just rock music, just rock and roll. You know, I think it's just, maybe there's like a certain groove, or, you know, maybe the chords are happy, I don't know. So yeah, I'm feeling like now that people are starting to be like, oh, okay, rock and roll is cool again. I don't know.
Totally. No, I was going to ask just that, because it seems like, I love the way you talk about rock and roll, and obviously you have a very personal relationship to it. But I think the way you talk about it like touches on a universal chord, which is that it does sort of resonate with everybody. And it is kind of hard to pinpoint what that is. To me, I think there's like a nostalgic element to it. There's a, I don't know, maybe a defining, yeah, maybe it is just the sound.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because maybe about a month ago, we played for the Santa Fe Indian School, and that's all high school and middle school students. And so they asked me to play, and I remember being like, oh no, like these kids are going to judge me, especially kids nowadays. And so I was a little nervous at first, because I was like, man, these high school kids, man, they're going to be like, we don't want rock and roll music. But I mean, they all enjoyed it, and I think we had a good time. And I know that they were supposed to leave at a certain time to go to their buses, to catch their bus, but nobody left when they were supposed to leave. And so my siblings who go to the high school were like, yeah, everybody loved you, and they loved your music, and they loved like, they even stayed past the bell or whatever, just because they wanted to like stay there longer. And I'm like, cool, well, that makes me feel good. So after that, I was like, okay, I think we can do anything now, guys.
And it is really interesting that rock and roll is timeless, kind of, you know, that it appeals to generation after generation after generation.
Yeah, I think so too. I think maybe it's just that, right, that maybe nostalgia of a certain time, maybe like a certain era. And I think, you know, like thinking about it now, I think rock and roll has kind of always been there. You know, like my grandparents, that was their era. They grew up with, you know, Buddy Holly and Elvis. And then my dad, growing up in the 80s, grew up watching La Bamba on the TV, and then, you know, passing that down to me. So yeah, I think maybe there's just that kind of nostalgia behind rock and roll.
That's Hide the Heartbreak from Jacob Shehae. Jacob joining me today on Talkin' Music. In addition to playing in the Jacob Shehae Trio, you also play in the all-Indigenous blues band, the Levi Platero Band. Tell me a little bit about the experience of playing in an all-Indigenous band, a blues band specifically.
Yeah. Shout out to my brother, Levi Platero. I've been playing with Levi for about 5 years now. It's just been an amazing experience so far. It's funny because I remember, I don't know, I think maybe just like the Southwest scene of musicians and artists and knowing people. And I remember growing up in high school and seeing Levi's name on Gathering of Nations posters or seeing YouTube videos of him. And I'm like, man, this guy is crazy good. Like he's insanely good. He still is. He blows my mind every time he plays. But I remember like seeing him growing up, and my band in college opened up for him one time. And I think we just kind of kept in touch. And then I do like photography on the side a little bit. And I remember meeting them at an event that I was shooting and kind of just kept in touch. And so, yeah, one day he was like, hey man, can you play bass? And I was like, yeah, I got you. And I don't even play bass that great. And he was just like, all right, cool. Here's the songs, learn them. Learned the songs, played my first gig with him. And then after that, I remember like hanging out afterwards and he was like, cool, man, I might have to keep you around for a while. And I was like, okay, cool. So I think we did that for like 6 months. He would just tell me whenever we had a gig and I would go play guitar, rhythm guitar for him, or play bass. And so I think maybe like 3 or 4 months into me playing with him, I was like, so am I in the band or like, what is going on?
It's like being in a relationship, right? You're like, so are we a thing?
That's exactly how it was, because he'd be like, hey, come over to this gig.
Totally.
Cool. And so I would go to these gigs and just play, and he'd be like, all right, cool, we'll see you next time. And then, yeah, finally, I think I just asked him, I was like, so am I in this band? And so he was like, yeah, dude, you've been in this band for 4 months. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I've been playing with him ever since. So yeah, he's really great. I love Levi and, you know, the band. I mean, we're all native blues band, all Indigenous blues band. And so there's Levi, and then there's Bronson and Royce, and they represent Navajo Nation. And then me, I represent the Pueblo people down here in the Southwest. And so, yeah, it's been a huge part of my life. And, you know, I think now we're kind of getting more kind of recognition online. And you know, we've just been kind of posting videos, and I think every video that we've been posting has kind of been blowing up on social media. And it's just like amazing to see kind of that response of people being like, we need more blues music in the world, or like, you know, or like Indigenous blues is too cool. And I don't know, it's really amazing just to see kind of like that response from people.
I want to circle back around for a second, Jacob, and you were talking about how you feel really hopeful about this year. You're, I think, in an interesting, it seems like you're in a very distinct place in your career. You're kind of like on a crux, I feel like. Do you get that sense, or do you have a sense of sort of what you want your future to look like musically?
Yeah, I think I love performing live. I love being on stage live. So I think for me, I really want us and myself to be, you know, playing constantly. I think I just love that part of being a musician and traveling and meeting new people. I'm a very social person. So I feel like for me, I like to just kind of like talk to people and meet new people and explore the world. But musically, yeah, I'm hoping to, with this Rockabilly Trio, the goal is to, you know, put out a little EP or something, just kind of get our name out there as rockabilly musicians. And so I'm being really hopeful. And like I said, I'm like, the good things are coming.
It's a good feeling to be looking forward to the future is a good feeling. I'm wondering, just to close out, I wanna talk a little bit about this intersection of tradition and modernity and how your indigeneity shapes your music and how your music shapes your identity.
That's a good one. You know, growing up here in the Southwest, I feel like there's a lot of native music and native musicians, but also maybe just not enough native music, or, you know, maybe not enough exposure out into the world. You know, I feel like I said, you know, from posting on TikTok, sometimes people are like, oh, I didn't even know that like there's native musicians, or like I didn't know natives could play, I don't know, rock and roll or blues. And you know, and I think that's kind of that thing that we're trying to get out is, you know, that we're here as indigenous artists and indigenous music musicians, and we're trying to get that out to the world and trying to also not be like categorized as indigenous artists. You know, we're musicians who play blues, but we're also indigenous, you know. So it's just trying to get that to people, but then also, you know, having that, yeah, I guess just showing the world that we are out there. And there's also, I want to give a shout out real quick to Native Guitars Tour, Jer Anderson. And you know, he's been doing this for I think at least 15 years. He has Native Guitars Tour, and they kind of push out native music kind of all over to the world. They host concerts and festivals throughout the year, in various locations like Santa Fe and Las Vegas, and then I think South by Southwest, they were doing some stuff there. But yeah, I think he's really giving like a platform to showcase native musicians and showcase, you know, like I said, like that native artists and musicians are out there. So I think that's one thing that we're trying to get out into the world.
I appreciate you sharing that, and thank you for that resource.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jacob. I really appreciate you making time.
Thank you for letting me have this platform to speak on. It's been good speaking to you. And yeah.
That's blues and rockabilly musician Jacob Shehae joining me today on Talkin' Music. To find out more about Jacob and his music, you can visit his website, jacobshehae.com. We're going to go out with Good Man from the Levi Platero Band. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Night, I'm in disguise, trying to keep this life of mine away from all of those who see. Every time I'm in pain, there's no sermon that can change my hopelessness and broken dreams. 'Cause every morning I wake up and I'm so cold and blacked out drunk. But your presence keeps me warmer than the sun. So please don't leave me here, all alone with the demons I fear. Please give me one more chance, just to prove I can make my stand. I'm a good man. They always say you can change, just take it day by day. But they don't know the demons I have. What I've done, what I've seen, what this world has done to me. But I never meant to make anyone cry. Every night I fill my cup, 'cause I know I've had enough. But I just need to feel your touch. So please don't leave me here, all alone with the demons I fear. I would have cared. My first as if it were my last. But now it's done, done for good. All my deeds misunderstood. And one more quick trip to my past. But I feel like it's too much. And I'm so close to giving up. Please don't leave me here, all alone. shade.